Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
It's that time of the year. We love it so much, Christmas, and just a few days it's going to be over, but we are on this beautiful theme of home for Christmas. Now, on your chair, you've got a little resource here. These are all the verses that we're going to go through. I'm just going to have a short teaching time this morning, and at the end of the message, we're going to have a prayer together, and I'm going to invite you at that time to say a very important prayer to me, with me. Say a prayer to God, and also there's going to be some prayer teams up here. We believe in prayer. We believe God answers prayer. There are going to be some prayer teams at the end of the message. If you're hurting today, if there's any sickness and you just want healing prayer, we want to make sure that every person is being inspired and touched by the power of God. So welcome, and I'm glad you're here in the sanctuary, and we also have people listening online, and we're glad that you're with us this morning, also in the cafe and the family lounge and wherever else my voice may be traveling at this Christmas time. Look, quick question. How many of you are traveling in order to be with family this Christmas? Anybody going to be on the road, or some are already on the road? I hope you're safe. How many are going to be actually home, in your home, for Christmas? Show me your hand. Awesome. Wow. Most of it. Now, that's really interesting. Home and Christmas really go together, and it's a blessed experience. I don't know if you heard the recent story, but it's going around that there was this man. He called his father several states away to say hello for Christmas, and while they were on the phone, the dad said to his son, several states away, he said, "Son, I don't want to ruin the holidays here, but I've got some bad news." His son said, "Dad, what's going on?" He said, "Well, your mother and I are finished. After 46 years of marriage, we can't take it anymore. And we've been miserable all this time. And now, you know, you're raised and your sister is raised. And we're calling it quits. That's it." And he said, "I know it's a bad time of the year to be announcing that we're going to be divorced, but we just want to let you know that." And the son just said, "Dad, are you crazy? What are you talking about?" He started raising his voice at his father. And he said, "Well, son, listen. You know, we're sick of the charade. We can't do this anymore. We've been miserable all this time. And in fact, your sister, she needs to know, and I can't talk about it anymore. I'm so done with this whole conversation. Just do me a favor, call your sister. She's several states away. Call her, make sure she knows the news. Your mother and I are splitting up." Well, the son is just mortified. He slams the phone down, frantically calls his sister. She's in the next state over, and she says, "What? Are you kidding? Over my dead body. Are our parents going to get divorced? It's Christmas. There's no way this is going to happen. I'll fix this." And she quickly dials up her father and starts screaming, "Dad, listen to me. You are not getting divorced. You and Mom are staying together." She says, "Don't do a thing until I get there. Now listen, you are not getting divorced. And I'm on my way, and I'm bringing my brother. I'm going to call him, and we are coming home, and we're going to fix this. And until we get there, don't do a single thing. Do you hear me?" And he says, "Yes." She hangs up. The old man hangs up the phone and then turns to his wife and says, "Good news, dear. The kids are going to be home for Christmas. And they're paying their own way for a change." Home for Christmas. Awesome. Well, Christmas and home do go together. And so I do want to talk just for a few minutes to us about the subject of coming home. Coming home spiritually. That's the topic that I want to briefly address. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 84. There's a beautiful verse. It's not really a Christmas verse, but it really works in the idea of home. And it says in verse 3, "Even the sparrow finds a home. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord." Isn't that beautiful? I just kind of picture this. Here the psalmist is maybe thinking of God's beautiful temple. That temple doesn't stand anymore, but there was a day when the gleaming pillars of that temple stood in the sun. And you were able to look up at this gorgeous, gorgeous place where people from all over the world gathered to worship the one true living God. There in Jerusalem, just shining like a star in the middle of that beautiful, picturesque city, and he's looking up at this gorgeous temple, or at least imagining it, and he sees the sparrows and the birds building their nests on the ledges and up in the eaves of this gorgeous house of God. And it gives him pause, and he stops to think, wow, even the birds know where they belong. Near you, God, at your altar, even the birds are building their lives around the house of God. I love that. And it's an important truth for all of us at Christmas, I believe, because as people, we're a little bit like birds. We have kind of that nesting instinct. There's a message here for us that if birds are wise enough to build their lives around the things of God and around the house of God and the presence of God, so we should as well. And there is that nesting instinct in every one of us to be in a place that's safe, to be in a place where we can rest, to find a home where we can experience what life is really all about. And it's my experience that so many people are still searching for that kind of an experience. They haven't really found that experience of being close to God. But it explains to us, this psalm gives us a powerful message. It's worth thinking about this morning, that as the sparrow finds her nest, so we find our place of comfort and safety, where, church? In God. That's the message. We're talking about coming home and being home for Christmas, and we've got to remember that there is nothing like the presence of God. There is nothing like the things of God, the power of God, the reality. I'm not talking about religion today. Please don't misunderstand. I'm talking about a living person, Christ, our beautiful Savior, and finding a relationship with him is really coming home and finding that place where we belong. This Christmas, I want us to think deeply about how we find our way home. How do we find our way home, spiritually speaking? There's a few things I'd like to share. First is that I think if you want to find your way home spiritually, you have to rethink your homelessness. Proverbs 27, verse 8 says, a person who strays from home is like a bird who has strayed from their nest. A person who strays from home is like a bird without a nest. And I know so many people that are still searching. So many people that haven't really found rest in life. They're restless souls. They're brokenhearted, and they don't realize that in essence, they've become homeless. Whatever the story is, emotionally, spiritually, they don't really have a place of safety, and it's tragic, and we have to rethink that. There was a story a few years back in the LA Times, and it was called A Mother's Search for Russell Love. That was the title of the article. The mother was a Houston woman. Her name was Beverly Elliott. She hadn't seen her son, Russell Love, for 4 years. All she knew about Russell was that he was somewhere in the LA area living a homeless lifestyle, and she hadn't seen him in all this time. She had called the LAPD, hoping for some kind of help. She'd called the FBI. Nobody could help her. You know, there's thousands of homeless people, and they didn't even try. She got to thinking, how could I reach out to him? Just longing to be in touch with her son. She put a personal ad in the LA Times, in the personal ad section, and they carried it for 12 days in the month of October, and this is what it said. It said, Russell Love from Houston, or anyone knowing where he lives, please call his mother, collect 713-447-5968. Russell, your mother will never forgive you. Will never forget you, excuse me. Your mother will never forget you. She loves you. She was hoping, I guess, somebody would see that ad, either her son or someone that knew her son, and someone did. Someone saw the ad, a man named Ralph Campbell. He had spent 25 years living on the streets, and he thought he knew where Russell Love might be. He called the LA Times and said, I can't get over there where he is, but I think this is where he's going to be. He sleeps in these boxes on this certain place. And so one of their reporters went out, located that place, and sure enough, a man was sleeping in some boxes who fit the description, and he said, "Are you Russell Love?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Your mother wants you to call her." And he gave Russell the newspaper. The last time that the reporter had seen Russell Love, he was rolling up his bedroll and under one arm, and then he put the newspaper under the other arm, and he was walking down Western Avenue. He wondered what would happen. Well, Russell Love called home on a Friday. And of course, his mother told him how much she missed him. She said that she was going to send some money. As soon as she got paid at the end of the month, she would send money so that he could get on a plane and come home to Houston. Now, she realized that was risky. She was desperate, of course, to see her son, but she had no idea what kind of a life he was living or if he would just take the money and she would never see him again. But she said, "You know, it's worth it. I want to give him a chance," and this is what she said, "I want to give him a chance to rethink his life. I want him to come home, and I want him to come back to the life and the world that he came from." Beverly Elliott, a mother, just trying to do anything and everything she could to get her son to rethink his homelessness and to come back to the life that he belonged to. I was talking to Pastor Eddie Smith. Eddie and Alice Smith are going to be with us here at Gateway speaking on the first Sunday in February. They're fabulous. They teach on prayer. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, what do you feel like you're going to teach on, you and Alice, when you come and share?" And he said, "You know, we've been doing a message that's really a life message for us on praying for prodigals." He said, "You know, we have two grown adult children that had gone away from the Lord, and the Lord showed us how to pray for them so that they would come home." I said, "This is unbelievable that you're feeling this leading." First of all, so many of our people are in the same exact circumstance, but also we're on this theme called Home for Christmas. We're talking about coming home spiritually. And he said, "Well, that'll be perfect, and we'll share what the Lord has taught us about how to pray for our wandering children." Both of his children had come back to the Lord as a result of their prayers. But I was thinking about, you know, that painful circumstance. A mother like this woman I described, and Eddie and Alice Smith, good people that just something's missing, because either part of their family or part of their heart, you know, your kids kind of take your heart with them, is missing. Homeless, away from home. And if you want to come home spiritually to God, there's a rethinking that has to take place. You've got to step back and look at where you are and then realize that something needs to change. You've got to rethink, really, that homeless condition. As we learned last week, there's a very important truth that I don't want you to forget. Our hearts will remain homesick until we find our way home. And there is a place in every person of homesickness and homelessness, spiritually speaking, and God is the one that can heal that and bring us back home. Do you agree? So if you want to come back to home, if you want to find your place in God, you've got to rethink your homelessness. And then the second piece of this, I think, is we've got to realize that we are drawn by God's goodness. We are drawn by God's goodness. In Romans chapter 2, we read about the goodness of God, and Paul the Apostle says, "Don't you know that the reason God is good to you is because he wants you to turn to him?" God has suffered, I think, sometimes from a lot of misrepresentation. People think of God as a kind of an angry, kind of a Grinch figure, you know, somebody who's just excited about smiting people, you know? You know what I'm talking about? An angry God, a God of vengeance, a God of wrath. But here's the truth about who God is. God is love. That's what the Bible says. And he does get angry. Oh, listen, I promise you. But he gets angry at the right things. I wouldn't want to serve a God, would you, who doesn't get angry at injustice? Who doesn't get angry when children are abused or when women are defiled? That kind of a God wouldn't be a righteous or a holy God. So there is a righteous anger that is a part of God's personality, but that's not how he deals with people. The Bible is clear that he hasn't dealt with us after our sins and transgressions, but according to his loving kindness and mercy. And it's his goodness that's leading us to repent and turn around. So we stop and we say, wow, you know, how do I get home? First, I've got to realize, first of all, that I'm far from home. And then I've got to think about how good God is. God wants to magnetize us and attract us and draw us through his goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads us back home. The Christmas story, been thinking about that and how it's filled with examples of God's ability to draw people and really put them where he wants them to be. Even in Matthew chapter 2, you know that beautiful story of how the star guided the shepherds just to the right place. Can you imagine? And I wonder here today, I wonder if God hasn't been guiding you. I wonder if God hasn't been secretly or not so secretly active in your life in positioning you and moving you, or at least pointing the way. Because you see, when you have that desire to come home, God will make sure you can find your way. He has a marvelous ability to guide us and direct us. And there the Magi, who were being led by that star, it says they entered the house, or they entered the home. They came back home, and that was where they found Christ with his mother Mary. And they bowed down, of course, and they worshiped him. Christmas is an awesome time for gifts. I am so excited about the gifts that I'm going to receive. I mean, the gifts that I'm going to give. Yeah, that's right. I'm excited about the gifts that I'm going to give, and I'm thinking too then about the greatest gift that God gives to us, and that is a hunger for him. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of something called prevenient grace, but theologians talk about that. Prevenient grace means that before we ever get hungry for God, God makes us hungry for him. Before we, as broken, sinful people, ever decide to long after him, God is the one who puts that longing in our heart. In other words, his grace is in us to turn us toward him and make us hungry for him. Some of you are hungry for God, you're hungry for change, but you think, oh, I'd like my life to change, but I don't think it can change. Well, where do you think you got that longing from in the first place? And if you're away from God, I promise you, that little thing on the inside of your heart that's telling you, you need to get home, you need to be where you're supposed to be, you need to be in the house of God, you need to be in God's love and in his presence, that isn't just your tricky mind telling you that. That's the grace of God speaking to you on the inside of your heart. It's prevenient grace drawing you. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said let me give you this. God draws us. Here's the summary of prevenient grace. God draws us by placing in us a longing for him. That longing for him is from him. Amen. That's grace. And it's a part of the way he guides us to the place that he wants us to be. In John 6:44, this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me, what? Draws him. My friends, God is at work in your life. He's drawing you. He's speaking to you. He's wooing you. And this Christmas, I just have to remind you that God loves you so much. And he has such a beautiful plan for you. But he's the one that's putting that desire in you for him. And he's giving you that desire just so that he could save you. Just so that he could bless you and work his will in your life. We've got to realize that it's the goodness of God that draws us. And then the last piece of this, point number 3, we come home really through Christ. And that's the bottom line, friends. You've heard the word gospel. That's not just a kind of music. It's a message. And the gospel message is that God loves you and that has made a way for you to come home through the person of Jesus Christ. I love the prayer of Moses back in Psalm 90, where he says, Lord, you have been our home since the beginning. Not a physical home, of course, a spiritual home. He's saying, God, you've been our place. You've been the place where our souls find rest. You are our home from the beginning. And the gospel is all the way through the scripture that people would come to God and find a true dwelling place, find a place where they can finally, once and for all, come out of the cold, come out of the storm, and find a place called home. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. And we do it by faith in Christ and his ability to save us. It's pictured. It's all laid out. Jesus laid it out very clearly in one of the stories that he told called the Prodigal Son. It's a story that I'm going to be sharing next Sunday here at Gateway. And we're going to just talk about that beautiful story of the Prodigal Son. How many remember the story and how it goes? You find it in Luke 15 where Jesus tells the story of a father who had a nice home, beautiful place. He had two sons. Everything was provided for, but one of the sons just got a wild idea. Maybe I could do better on my own. And he said, "Dad, I want the full inheritance that's coming to me. I want it all right now." The father gave it to him, and the son ends up far, far from home. Just exactly in the wrong place. Messing up his life. Prostitution, drunkenness. Makes a fool of himself, really, and finds himself in poverty. And then a moment comes where, and Jesus tells the story. We'll look at it in detail next week. It says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, this is what was in his thoughts. His thoughts were at home. At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? I will go home to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. So he returned where, church? He returned home to his father. Why was Jesus telling this story? Just a nice little story to tell. He was pointing the way home. He was saying, every one of us has strayed. Every one of us, we're like the bird that lost its nest. We flew off in the wrong direction. And the only way to fix that is to come to ourselves, come to Christ and learn how he's directing us, and to come home to the Father's house. Amen. To that place where everything's provided. And we're not, you know, he said, I'll just be a servant. And his father said, servants, I have dozens of servants. You're my son. And God is saying to you today, you're my son. You're my daughter. You don't have to do anything. I love you. Just be. Just come home. It's a beautiful story. And I want to just gladly share some news with you this Christmas that Jesus makes a way for people with a past to come home. I don't know if that's you. People that have made mistakes, people that have messed up, people that have made a fool of themselves in one way or another, people that have impoverished their own condition, there's a way to come out of that back home, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, as the musicians come, we're going to have a little bit more special music, and our service is going to be over in a few minutes, but I just want to share a few final thoughts. Christmas is really all about exactly what I'm talking about. Why are we celebrating all this? The birth of Christ, was he a good man? Was he somebody who taught us a better way? The reason the whole world celebrates Christ is that he's somebody like no one else that's ever lived. He's the only person that made a way for us to come home safely to God. And this is so important. It's about time to make some changes in our lives. Christmas is about an invitation, really, to come home. About a time that we can say in our lives, I'm not going to be a bird without a nest anymore. I'm not going to be homeless anymore. I'm going to find my way home to the Father's house. And then we'll be able to say, like David said, surely goodness and mercy, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't that sound awesome? I want you to say something with me. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says, Since God is my home, I will never be lonely again. Would you just say that? It just feels good to say it. Since God is my home, I will never be lonely again. Let that reassurance and that peace come into your heart. Open your heart to God. Be open to the spiritual side of your life and finding a home in Him. By the way, Russell Love, yeah, he made it home. He made it home. The article in the LA Times described his return and all the details of how he threw his arms around his mother, and his mother just hugged him, and they wept on each other, and it quoted him as saying, "It feels great to be home." And today, Russell Love works as an advocate for young people, helping young homeless people recover their lives. It's a great time to come home. My challenge to each and every one of us today is get where you need to be. Get there through Christ. Get there through your faith. And don't just celebrate the holidays. Be home for Christmas. Amen. Would you bow your heads? I just want to pray for you. Now, Father in heaven, I pray for the hearts of every person listening to my voice. This is a very special time of the year. Let every heart prepare hymn room. And Lord, may we dwell in your house. Lord, calm our fears. Fill us with peace, Lord. And let Christ be alive in every one of us this Christmas. We ask this in his name. Now we're going to have a few minutes of music, and I just encourage you to sing along. And as we sing this song, Pastor Nicole leads us, would you just declare, you know what? I'm not homeless anymore. I'm going to make my home in God. You know, just as the Holy Spirit does a work in your heart, it's bound to come out of your mouth. And I love that part where it says, oh, I need you. I want us to just sing that for a minute. Let the Holy Spirit grace your heart and just tell God, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. This is a prayer. Cry of our heart, Lord, we need you, God.
Oh, I need you.
I need you, Lord.
I need you,
Lord. Sing it together, church. Let this be your prayer.
Oh, I need you.
Put a prayer on the screen. I want to invite you. It doesn't matter what your background is. No church, good church, bad church, this church. God's been reaching out to you. Here's a very special chance for you to reach back to Him in prayer. We do this by faith. We pray in Christ's name, and we know that God hears our prayer. We have to say, all of us have to come to a place where we say, Lord, I can't really do this on my own. I realize that. I need you. We're going to say this prayer out loud. I encourage you to join us. Let this be your prayer as we pray together. Say it with me. Father God, thank you for making a way for me to come home through Jesus Christ. So often I felt hopeless and far from you. Like the prodigal, I need to be forgiven and restored. Today, I choose to dwell in God's house and rejoice that Christ is my Savior and Lord. In His name, and all the sparrows said, amen. Hallelujah. Just, yes. Do me a favor. We have something really special. Just take a seat as Pastor Nicole and Sabani Parcells sing us, and we come to the end of the service. Jesus. Awesome. There's a few men and women that are going to be right up here at the front. I'd like to have the altar team just come. You in the cafe or anywhere in the sanctuary, if you need prayer, your life is very important to God and therefore very important to us. And we're here with healing, prayer, and salvation prayer, whatever you might need. Kathy and I are just so grateful to each and every one of you. We're wishing you an incredible, best ever Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at Gateway. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.